Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
upon the Lord. I don't think there's anything I hate hearing worse than that. I think probably I'm the exact wrong person to preach anything about waiting on the Lord, because there's nothing on earth I hate worse than waiting. I don't care if I'm waiting on the Lord. The only thing worse than that is waiting on my wife, which happens all the time. If I add it up, don't look over your shoulder at her. She knows it's true. How many times have we been going somewhere and I'm waiting for her to get ready? And all, if I added all that up, that'd be another year at the end of my life. Just wasted, gone, never coming back. I hate waiting, and I don't care why I'm supposed to wait. I don't care what it's going to do for me. I hate doing it. There's no amount of me doing it, having done it in the past, and having benefited from waiting in the past, that gives me any appreciation for doing any kind of waiting. And I think in a way, that's part of the reason why God puts it on us. See, I think when we're talking about waiting, we're not talking about waiting for the good things we really need. Because you don't have to wait for those things. The good things you really need, like joy, hope, love, mercy, wisdom, patience, those things are available to you right now in infinite supply. No reason to wait. I don't think you should wait. I don't know what you're waiting for. If you walk out of here without having enough of that, just to where it's spilling over your life into other people's, because you just don't want it. It's simple as that. Don't wait. Why wait? Go ahead and take a hold of those things. You have to wait for the things you really need, the things that are really going to satisfy you. What are we talking about when we're talking about waiting and all this waiting and I'm tired of waiting? I don't want to wait. We're talking about all the trinkety junk we're dying for the Lord to hook us up with. That's what we're really talking about waiting on. And there's a reason why maybe we ought to wait. Just maybe. I think one of those reasons is to cause us to question why we want it. You know, maybe it's not that big a deal one way or another. Maybe it's not really that, you know, a bad thing for you or what have you. But if you keep asking the Lord again and again and again, please give me this, please give me this, you might accidentally start telling him why you want it. And the reasons might be kind of thin, you know what I mean? When you start telling him why you just have to have this thing and what good is going to do for the kingdom, it might start, there might be a little bit of a disconnect there, you know? I think waiting causes us, or puts us in a position to keep from being controlled by our desires, right? Being controlled by our desires. You know, that's, I don't know if any of you guys are this way, but, some people struggle with different, you know, with alcohol or drugs. And I had my time of participating in all that, but lust for me was way beyond all those things in terms of a struggle for me to give up. And I came to a place where I wasn't trying anymore to do it my way and try and do it God's way both at once, because I couldn't do that. And I was just trying to kind of fudge it this way and that way, and it wasn't working. So I just shut it down. I said, I'm not going to be with any women. I'm not going to have anything to do with women. I'm just going to close that down. And I spent about 4 years in that state. I was in ministry already, so I was busy, and I was doing prison ministry, so I wasn't meeting a lot of women anyway. And so wasn't that hard to give up, I guess. But at the end of that time, I was in Colorado, sort of a convention there, and I saw this woman. And I said, Lord, I would rather watch that woman walk than eat fried chicken. And that was Jane. That's my wife. Now, the irony is I haven't hardly had any fried chicken since. She won't let me eat anything. So I made my trade-off, you know. But when I saw her, that's what I said. And I said, Lord, I think you better take those feelings from me because, that's not the route I'm on. And he said, no, I don't think I'm going to take these feelings from you. Now, that was a blessed day. Okay. Really was.
Okay.
But see, in that moment, the thing about it was I was really focused on the fact that I had screwed this up so many times before. And I was really focused on maybe I better not screw this up this time. If I waited 4 years for this, maybe it'll be another 4 years before I get the next one come along and the Lord says this is the right time. So I think it keeps us from being ruled by our desires, and it what it does is it purifies us, in a sense. It purifies us. We've said it before here at the Bridge, if you want to get to the promised land, you have to go through the desert. And most brothers, that desert just takes them right out. Can't handle it. Get 3 or 4 steps into it. It's hot. It's sandy. I can't see my deliverance from where I'm standing here. I quit. Going back to Egypt into captivity. Live life as a slave. I don't care. Talk bad about me. I don't care. I'm going back to that. Because I can't see my deliverance from here. All I see is sand this way, and somebody tells me there's something good on the other side. Well, forget that. I don't have that kind of trust. And that's the truth is, when we're waiting, that trust needs to be part of it. If there isn't trust with the waiting, what you're really doing is just gritting your teeth and waiting for it to be over. And that, like later this evening, you're going to backslide on that. You ain't gonna last on that. You grit your teeth for only so long before it gets just tiring. So I'm tired of waiting. Brother was talking to me up before the service, and we were talking about instantaneous gratification. You know, when you've been through that addictive lifestyle, you don't have to wait. There's no waiting. That's for suckers, man. I mean, I can hook this up right now. I can feel good right this very moment. Doesn't matter, my whole life's falling apart. I can make things feel good right now. So waiting becomes a 4-letter word, and you build up in your mind this idea of waiting and crossing that desert to get to the promised land like that's going to kill you. But it won't. It won't. It's helping you, and it's fixing you. And don't preach that back to me, because I don't want to hear it. I hate to wait. Just so you know, I'm just telling you what the truth is. I'm not telling you I'm going to live by all this stuff, you know. This is hard, waiting on the Lord and trusting in Him. Maybe we have problems trusting, too, because we're not sure God wants to hook us up because of the way we've lived. That's Santa Claus. That's not God. Santa Claus is figuring out who's naughty and nice and handing out blessings based on that. Like we said the other week, you've been doing nothing but messing up, and so have I, but you've been blessed, and so have I. So we know we can trust God to take care of our needs. I remember once I was going through a prison, and I was going to preach to the brothers there, and the particular facility I was in, it's a maximum security facility, so they had all the guys in different units, and you had to preach from unit to unit to unit. You couldn't just preach them all at once because they, for security reasons and stuff. And so every Sunday I preached the same sermon like 7 times, which is, about the 7th time you're a little wore out. And I was going down this hallway and I was done, and my throat was just raw, and my energy was shot. I just had all I could take, and I'm walking past this cell. And this guy bangs on the other side of the door, and, you got to press your ear against the door, to hear him talking. He's got to yell at the crack in the door. And he says, what is it you're preaching on? And that particular day, I said, I'm preaching on trusting the Lord. And he said, well, can I hear it?
Okay. Yeah.
And I said, well, why weren't you with the other brothers? He said, well, he had messed up, and they had locked him down for messing up. And so, it's his own fault for being disobedient and everything. I had every cause and reason to just break on this brother, but I didn't. I said, I'm going to preach it to you, but it's coming out hard if you're going to make me preach it 8 times after I preach it 7 times. You're going to get it with both barrels. And I preached it real hard and gave it to him. And I said, I said, okay, tell me what you think of that. And I pressed my ear against the door, and he said, well, you know, all that's good, but I just don't know if I can trust God. I don't know if I can trust him. And I just, it was probably my lack of patience and tiredness level. I said, son, do you know where you're at? That's for trusting you. It's not good enough for you that you're locked up. You got to be locked up inside a lockup. But you're afraid God's going to mess all that up. You got to go so good. If God comes along, he's going to mess this whole thing up. You just about got it all coordinated, but God's input to this is probably going to mess it all. I understand why you think that, brother. I can see what your trouble in your mind. Yeah, but that made perfect sense to him until somebody said it back to him out loud, you know. And I'm the same way. You're the same way. We're all the same way. Here we are steady messing up everything in our lives. And we're just not sure if we want to trust the Lord.